This podcast is brought to you by SUM, the School of Meaningful Experiences. For more information, visit www.sum.education. That's www.some.edu/CATION. Hello there. My name is Rakesh Kodwani. Welcome to Plunge, my podcast for those who wake up every morning thinking that they'd rather do something else than what they are doing, but for some reason or the other can't. Every day, deep inside, they feel unfulfilled and have a burning desire to follow their passion. Every day, they read about others who have taken the plunge to follow their passion and wish that they too could do the same. In season one of this podcast, I will talk about how one figures out their passions, manage the unknowns that lie ahead in this path, deal with societal pressures, failures, self-doubt, and finally, how can one take a plunge and fulfill their passions and dreams? I invite you to join me in this journey and sincerely hope that this podcast helps you in your own plunge. Hello, fellow plungers. In the previous episode, I talked to you about the zone. In this episode, I want to talk about how we make our choices which shape our careers and our lives. Every minute of our lives, we make choices to decide something or the other. These choices are made in the brain, an organ of our body that we should start paying much more attention to. Our brains are what differentiate us from all the other members of the animal kingdom because they help us think in a variety of ways to make choices. Some of these choices are simple ones, like choosing between a cup of tea or coffee, to what we wear to work, or also more complex ones like how to invest our savings, to what degree to acquire so that we get a better job, or which company to apply, and so on. In the groundbreaking sci-fi film The Matrix, there is an iconic scene which illustrates the dilemma of making choices. Neo wants to take a plunge to know about the Matrix. The question, "What is the Matrix?" haunts him night and day, and he's curious to find out the truth. He's taken to Morpheus, who offers him a choice. He stretches out both his palms towards Neo. There is a pill in each of his palms. A red one and a blue one, and Neo has to choose one of them. This is a life-changing decision for Neo. Here is what Morpheus says to him. Finally, Neo chooses a red pill and takes the plunge to learn the truth of the Matrix. Each of us have our own mechanisms to make choices that depend on our own priorities and perceptions at that moment and in that given situation. What this means is that if Morpheus had offered me the pills, my way of making choices will be very different than Neo because I have my own priorities and perspectives. Our priorities and perspectives play a significant role in our decision-making process. For example, consider how we read our emails every morning. Let's take the case of a 24-year-old called Rahul. Rahul has a full-time job and lives on his own. He has an education loan weighing him down, and he would have to pay bills for rent, commute, food, leisure, utilities, gym, etc. His job is very important to him because it is a means to fulfill these obligations. Rahul's job also affects his social standing and acceptance in the society. Now, when Rahul checks his mail, he prioritizes messages from his boss over his colleagues. He ignores all other emails. But there could be another person called Seema, who is also 24 years old and working in the same office as Rahul. She's getting married to the love of her life in a few days and has planned a perfect 3-day wedding extravaganza. When she checks her mails, she prioritizes the messages from her fiancé and the event management company over the mails from her boss. Both Seema and Rahul, though of the same age and in the same job, make choices very differently. There is a concept called the brain attic that Sir Arthur Conan Doyle explained beautifully in his book of Sherlock Holmes called A Study in Scarlet. If you have watched the BBC series called Sherlock featuring Benedict Cumberbatch, the term brain attic is used slightly differently and is called the mind palace. According to Sherlock Holmes, what we choose to put in our brain attics defines how we live our lives. So we must fill our brain attics wisely. If someone peeped into Rahul's brain attic or mind palace, they would find a big chunk called boss and another one called job and perhaps the largest of all called money. The top priority for many of us is our jobs because we need the money to pay the bills. This changes as we become older because how we view and appreciate our world changes over time. When I was 20-something years of age, my perspective was different than that of when I was 30. As I grew older, my spouse and children became very important to me besides my job, and this changed the way I made choices. Let's go back to Rahul. He's now 35, has 2 kids, and has a great job in Mumbai. His kids go to a good school, and his wife has a job that she loves. He has an apartment which is very close to his parents' home. This arrangement allows the kids to be cared for when he and his wife have late evening meetings or are traveling on their business trips. Rahul works 14 hours a day and travels quite extensively. One day, he gets a job offer which pays him double the salary but is in a different city, Noida. But now, Rahul's brain attic and the priorities that are there inside have changed. Money is not the only priority for him. His priority is also to keep his family happy, which may not happen if he moves to Noida. His wife may not get a similar job there. His kids may not adjust to the new school and may miss their friends they have in Mumbai. Plus, his parents will not be near them if he moves to Noida. So Rahul turns down this offer and continues in the same company in Mumbai. As time progresses, Rahul's brain attic keeps changing. He is now 55 years of age. Both Rahul and his wife have worked very hard in their successful careers and are very well off. He is the CTO of his company now and well respected. His kids are settled in different countries and they meet once or twice a year. Rahul's brain attic has a much smaller space for his job now. He doesn't really need to work to feel secure. He has ensured that his financial needs are met. He has also ensured that his wife and kids are taken care of in case something happens to him. Now his job is important because it keeps him socially active and gives him a place to spend the better half of the day. He gets a call from a large philanthropic foundation to head their technology research division. The pay is a fraction of what he is earning now, what he was earning 20 years ago. But Rahul decides to take this job because now his choices are based on his current priorities. Money is not important to him anymore. Fame is not important to him anymore. His family is important to him, but he knows that they are now secure and don't need his attention like before. He accepted this job offer because he thought it was more exciting and meaningful. Plus, a critical decision factor was that this job would allow him to travel to distant places in India. When Rahul was a young person of 15 years, he started trekking and mountaineering. But when he got into college and as life took over, he pushed this interest of trekking down in his priority list so that other priorities could be fulfilled. But now, his brain attic has room for this interest again. And this job would give him the flexibility to trek and explore mountains when he would get to travel across India. 30 years ago, Rahul would not have made this choice because of his priorities and perspectives inside his brain attic. I have a little theory that explains how we make choices and design our lives. I call it the Three Freedom Theory. Imagine a three-dimensional model with three different axes. Each axis of this model means something we can choose in our lives. The x-axis is the financial choice of our life. Things like home, car, investments, education, health, security, and retirement funds, and so on. Financial priorities are often the most important for us. The y-axis represents the social choices of our life. Things like families, friends, colleagues, communities, clubs, societies that we live in, and so on. The last axis, the z-axis, is called the personal choices of our life. Things that we want to do for ourselves, our passion, our zone, our dreams, our health, our happiness, etc. My theory is that we first focus on financial choices, then social choices, and last comes our personal choices. We design our life based on money first, family next, and hope that one day our financial and social obligations will be satisfied. And finally, we will get to focus on our interests as well. Many even have given a name for this, the retirement plan. By designing our lives and making choices financially and socially, we manage to secure ourselves financially and socially, but we lose something very vital in this process, time and health. Over time, people like Rahul will realize that their bodies may not have the energy for trekking and mountaineering like how they had when they were younger. And at times like these, we experience a feeling that we all dread, regret. At times like these, we hear the question ringing in our minds, why didn't I do this earlier? I read this interesting quote on one of my WhatsApp groups. First, I had time but no money. Then I had money but no time. Finally, I had both time and money but no health to enjoy my wealth. In 2011, Bronnie Ware published a book called The Top Regrets of Dying that explains this quote in great detail. She was a nurse in the palliative care department in a hospital, a place where patients are brought when medicine and science cannot do anything to save them. She would do her best to make things easier and less painful for the patients in their final journeys. She would talk to them and listen to their stories. And she would ask them one question: what is the biggest regret of your life? Which she documented in her blog and the book. One of the top regrets expressed by majority of such patients was that they wished that they had chosen to fulfill their dreams when they were younger. In other words, they wished that they had done things to make themselves happy rather than keeping others happy, just like Rahul. Rahul spent 30 plus years of his life just to keep his financial and social freedoms. He sacrificed his personal freedoms to fulfill the other two. A movie that has had a profound impact on my life is called Anand. I saw it for the first time in 1994 and was hooked right from the first scene.
Dr. Bhaskar Banerjee.
Are Babu Moshai.
लड़कियां कॉलेज में आपको बामोशाय बुलाया करती थी ना।
The movie starts with an august ceremony where an author called Dr. Bhaskar, played by Amitabh Bachchan, is being given an award for publishing a book called Anand. Dr. Bhaskar stands up and gives a speech where he tells the audience how a patient called Anand came in his life and changed it forever. And now he felt that Anand's story should be told to everyone. Bhaskar's perspective of life was quite bleak, despite his financial and social stability. Every day he saw death, misery, and sadness around him. But on the other hand, Anand's perspective of life was quite bright, despite having no financial and social stability. He was also suffering from terminal cancer and knew that he would die within 6 months. Despite all this, he loved life and was full of joy and enthusiasm. Anand's brain attic was full of choices, priorities, and perspectives of personal happiness because he felt that he had only 6 months to enjoy life. Anand would say, "My dear friend, life should be big, not long." I think it sounds much better when Rajesh Khanna says it.
Bhamushai, zindagi badi honi chahiye, lambi nahi.
Every time I watch Anand, it gives me a perspective on my own life. Death is an inevitable certainty in our lives, and Anand teaches all of us an important lesson. We have finite time on this planet. So in this limited time, ask yourself, what choices can you make to live a better life? Another book which is a great example in this context is When Breath Becomes Air, written by Dr. Paul Kalanithi. He passed away a few years ago, and this book was published posthumously. He too, like Anand, was suffering from terminal cancer. But he chose to live life in happiness with his wife and even decided to have a child. In the study of terminal patients done by Bronnie Ware, none of the patients said that they regretted not having a big house or a nicer car or more money or gratification from material possessions. So then why have we designed our lives that give these things more priority than things that are more important to us, like our own passions and our health, both physical and mental? In a future episode, I will talk about why we end up making these choices and how our own self-doubt and fear of failure drive us towards them, knowing fully well that these choices are not right for us. But for now, I want all of you to take a peek inside your brain attics. What do you find? Is your life designed around your job that gives you money so that you can pay your bills? If yes, then you may want to reflect on your life and watch movies like Anand or read books like When Breath Becomes Air. Once you do, see if you can design your life around your personal fulfillment. Give your passions the biggest space in your brain attic. Enjoy more time in your zone. There is another way to understand this. It is called living in the moment. If you look at Rahul's life, which mirrors the life of many of us working in the corporate world, we're trying to make choices that give us a better tomorrow. Rick Elias, the passenger on seat 1D in the plane that landed on the Hudson River, by the pilot Chesley Sullenberger in the movie Sully, calls this phenomena in his TED talk as, "I save bad wines." We are saving the wine for tomorrow. We are saving money for tomorrow. We are building a home for tomorrow. We are sending our kids to a school because they can have a better tomorrow. We are investing in a mutual fund so that we can have a pile of money tomorrow. But in doing so, we are sacrificing our today, our now. Tomorrow is a mystery, past is history, but today is a gift. That is why it is called present. So why are we letting it go? Why are we not living with this gift, the present? There is a Latin phrase that captures the essence of living in the present. It is carpe diem. It means seize the day, and was used by an awesome actor, Robin Williams, in this marvelous movie called The Dead Poets Society. seize your day. Don't let it go. Don't do things thinking that you will have a better tomorrow. Instead, make choices for now and do things that will make today better for you. And then do the same again when tomorrow comes. This podcast is brought to you by SUM, the School of Meaningful Experiences. For more information, visit www.sum.education. That's www.some.education.